He just got it. So, thank you so much for being here. Thank you for being here after hours, taking the time to do this with us. Thank you so much for submitting this and giving us the opportunity to serve you. I want to emphasize, and probably I will emphasize this a lot of times, even while Trevor is going to speak, this is your initiated process. This is initiated part of the process that is, as it is set up right now, by you. Once that happens, we are bound to follow the process as it is. So we are right now in this moment where a lot of stuff happened. I don't want to talk about what happened. I want to talk about where are we right now. Right now, as last week we said, we are at the moment where Trevor is going to present the architectural standards. We need input on that. We will present it to you. We are here to answer questions about the architectural standards. I'm going to give it to him. He's going to go through the same presentation as last time. But before I do that, I will tell you a little bit about what's going to happen after. So, the process as it was done up to this point, we hear your concerns, some of you emailed us, some of you are still questioning the process. Even after last time, and even before last time, we met internally numerous times with all the levels above us. Andrea is here to testify, and she's here to testify about levels above us as well. We also met with the attorneys. We all agreed that the process was followed. Again, if you don't like it, if it didn't serve you well, we hear you, we understand, we are bound to continue to follow. So I would like to move the conversation to the process was followed, we are here today, and let's talk about what's going to happen next. I came and I wanted to come in front of you because I wanted to address what's going to happen next when it comes to what can you do for CPC, what can you do for council, what kind of means you have to make your voices heard all the way across. Let's see, I have some notes in here, sorry. So, the first thing, after tonight, we decided, and you all know, the ordinance is already on the website. However, we kind of like saw that there wasn't necessarily a good way for you to give direct input. So we decided that we're going to place on the website a survey and a comment form, kind of like the same form, that we're going to have an opportunity to put in there every type of input you have about the proposed ordinance as it is. We're going to keep all of those. We added their name, address, everything, so we know it's coming from you. We're going to look at them. We're going to look at your email. We're going to use our best expertise possible, and then we'll see. It really depends on what type of input we're going to receive. So that's the thing we're going to do. So after tonight, I think it's going to take us a few days to finish that reply form, let's call it a comment form, that also is a form of a survey. You like this, you don't like this, why, all of that, and in the end, open to give us input, what do we need to change, everything. So we're going to keep that up for a month, and then depending on the input that we have, at some point we're still aiming to have this scheduled for CPC probably in May. It's not a date firm, it's something that we're aiming to do. Again, thank you for your time tonight and for your time that you're going to take to use that form. Now, I have a little bit of a question. Or three questions. I know you have to get asked. So it's pretty self-explanatory. First one, who in here signed the petition? I just, for my own. Okay, I just want to know from here right now. So who in here signed the petition?
The initial
petition. The initial petition, yes. Okay. Thank you. Who in here wants absolutely no conservation district whatsoever? Good. That's great. You're going to be very interested in what I'm about to say next. Who in here wants some sort of conservation district, probably the one that's original? Good. Perfect. That's kind of like what I needed to know. So, I have some advice, but I would like to first tell you what happens at CPC and Council, so you know that. And then I have some advice based on our experience in dealing with zoning cases. I didn't introduce myself properly. I've been working with the city for 5 years. I've been working in the metroplex for 10 years. All of them in zoning. I know exactly how CPC Council works. You know what zoning changes are. That's my department. That's my team. So I kind of like know the process very well. So let's move straight to CPC. I'm sorry, I need to say this is kind of tonight. So once this is scheduled for CPC, we're going to send, we are bound by law to send letters to everybody inside the area of request and the buffer around the area of request. With those letters, you're going to all receive a legal reply form. The reply form has options, opposition or support. And it also has a box where you can write things. Just to make it easier for you to follow, the reply form for CPC is blue. So you know, you're going to receive a blue form. For state law, we're required to send those minimum 10 days in advance of CPC, because that falls on a Monday. We usually send them on a Friday, so you have 14 days. We don't control the post office. We hear that a lot. Please do understand that. Because we don't control the post office, we have other options for you in case you didn't receive your reply form. We have affidavits that you can fill in, or you can create your reply form. It just needs to be notarized because it needs, per code, we need to know that it was sent by you, meaning the property owner. So again, you don't receive the blue form, you don't have enough time to submit it to us, please reach out, we'll send you the affidavits, or we'll send you the portion of the code that it says what it needs to contain, so it's a valid reply form. The deadline for us to receive the reply forms and scan them and input them into a system is the day prior to the City Plan Commission at noon. We receive your reply forms, we validate them, make sure that you put in there time, date. I'm sorry I didn't make the law. I need to say this, I should have started with this. We didn't make these rules, we just followed them. So, per the rule as written in the code, this is what needs to be on a reply form. So please pay attention how you fill it in, or if you've got an affidavit or anything, please make sure that it has all the information so we can validate. If you submit it the day prior to CPC, we will scan, we will input it into the system, we will create a map that's going to show who's in reply and opposition, we're going to send the entire packet to City Plan Commission. So they will know. What does it mean for City Plan Commission? It means that they hear and they see that you submitted a reply form. It doesn't trigger anything legally. Now we come to the City Council. Now come back and talk a little bit about CPC as well. City Council. We do the same. For City Council, 15 days prior to the meeting, but we're adding a few more days because it falls on a Monday, so we send them on a Friday, right? So 17, 16 days prior, or 18 days prior to City Council, we're going to send again a letter to all of you and a buffer around it with a reply form, another reply form. It's a green form this time, so you know, right? No matter which one you submit back to us, we don't count it twice. We just want to make sure that you have at least two opportunities and two letters to submit your support or opposition. Per law, which is the development code. So again, it applies the same. Affidavit, everything. You don't need to submit both. We count only one. Per law, the Friday before City Council is usually on a Wednesday. For our development code, the Friday at noon, before council, we again receive all your reply forms that have to be in original and properly marked, as I was saying, make sure that it follows what's in the code. We count all of them, we validate, we input it to the same system, we don't count you twice, and if you change your mind, we become the most recent one. So if you submit an opposition at CPC, but then you have a support of council, we're going to count the support. If it's the other way around, you get the deal. We arrived, that's when it becomes a little bit more legal. Before council, that Friday afternoon, it's Friday at noon because we need the Friday to validate them, to enter into the system, and to run a map to know if we receive 20% opposition for state law and for our code. A 20% opposition inside and in the buffer, separate, we count them separately, right? Kicks in, triggers a super majority vote at council to pass. We have 15 spots, it means that instead of 8, they need 12 votes. The application needs 12 votes to pass. So, it's clear, right? If you submit your opposition, because I'm talking to a lot of people in opposition here, and I'm looking at you. If you submit your opposition for CPC for council, at council, it has the potential to trigger a super majority vote for the application to pass. Is it clear?
No. No, confusing.
I wanted to ask, so is there an opportunity, does it automatically go from CPC to council, or is there a chance that it doesn't get out of CPC?
There is a chance that it doesn't get out of CDC. I don't know. Let me get back to you. On a normal zoning application, if CDC denies and is not appealed by the applicant, it stays there. Because this was, again, this is a different process than a zoning change, I think it automatically goes to council with a recommendation of denial. By the way, a recommendation of denial from CDC again triggers a supermajority vote at council to pass. We're talking 8 versus 12. Yes?
Just to clarify on the city council and CPC, I also have some history with zoning cases. Normally, the council will vote in deference to the person who represents that district. So the fact that it's a majority or supermajority is rarely an issue. It's what is that particular council person who represents that area want to do.
Yes, generally they follow the council district. Again, I've been doing this for 5 years. I have examples where they didn't. Most recent one in last year. So it's not always. But obviously that's why you have a representative, and obviously the person whose district is makes the motion, and it's on them to convince why they make the motion the way they did. Yes, process.
Can we fill out the forms if they're sending us in the mail? Can we go online somehow and see that you're counted?
No, but you can ask us. So,
you
can ask us. So, first, you can ask us, and it's going to be in the city council report, the entire situation that we got for CPC. So the CPC reply forms, not the reply forms, the map that shows the count, opposition versus support, is going to be in the council report.
But in your 5 years, have you ever gone missing? Like the match in the middle?
No. I took a very long pause because, again, no. And again, I will go back and I will come back to you. You receive one at CPC, one at council. You can come and check with us, and we can say, no, sir. You can come and check with us before the last deadline, right? And you can come instead of Friday at noon when it's drop dead. You can come to us Wednesday. Did you receive my phone? And we say, no. And you're like, okay, here's my affidavit. We will work with you. Our intent is to make your voice heard.
Yes. What was the trigger point to cause it to go to 3/4? Getting 20% or some number.
Yes, it's 20% of the inside, but also of the outside, and we count them separately. It means that you don't have to have cumulative, right? You can have 20% only on the inside, and it still triggers.
Then the 275 in this case.
I think so, yes. Yes, yes.
Now, does it include CP2, because they also all got letters this time?
It will not, right? The area request is only the expansion.
I think it will include existing, well, existing extension too.
That's a good question. I assume, yes.
And your name is Andrea, correct?
Yes, Andrea, yes. That's a very good question, thank you.
Just to make sure, the trigger for the supermajority vote isn't just the affidavits, it's also the cards represent the 20% or of the lots of the land area. So we don't have to do the affidavit.
No, you can, it's either or. So we take, you know, we're trying to make it as easy for you to voice officially, right? We send you two reply forms, color coded. We provide you with an affidavit if you want, or we allow you to submit your own form in whatever format you like. It's just that it needs to contain the information for code and it needs to be notarized because the notary is going to tell us that it was you. There are people, for instance, in areas where people cannot afford a notary or stuff like that. So that's why we provide the furnished, we provide the reply form. And I also want to make something very clear. We count the original reply forms, and I'm sorry, that's what the code says. I cannot change that. And in order for us to certify that it's original, it has to have our label on it, because we know. So please don't make copies, colored copies of the blue green forms. Again, I've seen a lot in 5 years. I'm trying to serve as much as possible and follow as much as possible. We can help, just tell us how. Yes.
Do you have a card?
I have some in my, but yes. But all of this happens after we send the notification letters for CBC and CAS.
We couldn't get an affidavit now.
Right now?
Why not?
I don't know. We didn't send the required forms yet, but I would say you can. That's where my advice would come to you on how to get organized to have their input or to talk to the commissioners or to us, right? So you can get organized in any way that you want. I don't know if we will, considering the fact that we didn't send the reply or the notification letters, I don't think we can. It's kind of like giving you the reply forms already. You don't even know what it's in the notification letter.
Right. But with an affidavit, you would have record of what?
You will have, that's what I'm trying to say. You will have so many opportunities and we are here to help. It's just that I need to follow the process that says 10 days before scheduling. I need to have a scheduling thing, I need to have a letter, I need to send the letters first.
I have one more question. I'm concerned that whoever's guessing that everyone in CD2 would also get a reply form. Because they're not, their rules are not changing. And they don't, a lot of them don't understand the 56-page draft of our rules.
I understand. And thank you for that. And for that, I need to get with you just to make sure about that. So these little things we still need to figure out. Nobody's trying. Whatever we find out, we're going to let you know.
And how will you let us know?
That's a good question.
I will.
Yes.
It's a new CDX2. It's new, right?
I started with the process because I wanted to make sure that he's going to be able to move on with his presentation about architectural standards, but I wanted you to also have the first answer that I have right now. And it's good for me to hear from you, from all of us, to hear from you regarding this process. I will get your answers.
You're entirely comfortable that the process of assault was followed to the T.
That's what I said, yes. But it's not modified yet, and it's not, we didn't start the CVC process. We're not there yet. We still have time to figure those out, and thank you for bringing them to our attention in advance.
Andre, first of all, thank you for stepping up and addressing our questions. It really is appreciated. I wanted to clarify on the 20% trigger question and the buffer zone. I just want to make sure that I understand. Because you said that it included the buffer, what's the denominator? Is it the 275 houses? Or is it some 20% of the buffer too, which is now the math? Like,
the code, if I know it, the top of my head right now, says both. And we've done some optimized rings, and kind of like that's how I know we got into it. But they are independent. So we're going to count 20% of the inside and then 20% of the buffer.
And so if either is
20%, either of them is triggered.
Thank you.
Just talk a little bit about the draft ordinance ultimately going to go to the Planning Commission. Like, there's a bunch of hands here that maybe disagree with it today, but running in comments, like, how are those comments being addressed and tabulated? Like, people have sent emails, there's been phone calls, like, I'm still confused on what the count of yeses versus noes versus each section of the ordinance is.
Yes, so I started with that. I don't know if you were in the beginning. So what we're going to do after today, the ordinance is already on the website. We talked internally and we decided to create a form on our website. We call it a comment survey type of form for all of you to send to us.
Sorry, I did hear that. But what I'm trying to figure out is are you tabulating? Who's tabulating?
It's going to be us, and then depending on, and we talked a little bit internally as well. We will export all of those, and if need be, they will be an appendix to the staff report. Like, we want to make sure that everything that you are saying doesn't stay just with us. We want to offer you as many people as possible. So, this is something that we're offering that's a little bit outside of the process to be more accommodating. So it's not written in the code, oh, you must create this form and then you must do this with us. So
no, but
please be
I get that. At the first meeting, the pre-application, I think it was Bill Hirsch, he said that it would only go to the Planning Commission once there was concurrence on the provisions. And how do we define concurrence?
That's a very good question. And that's why, again, and we'll say again, we're creating this form. Please send your input, and based on that, we're going to have to sit down and look and see, okay, out of 200 200 survey forms that we received, 150 were saying the same thing. So that's, I don't know, because that didn't happen. So let that happen a little bit. And again, if need be, we're going to have to figure it out. We knew internally, okay, what is the next step? Do we have another community to let you know, or are we just moving into CBC where we attach those forms, and then we explain in the staff report, this is what we received, this is our interpretation. Please do understand, that didn't happen, so I don't have anything. If I say right now, oh, we're going to have another meeting, you're going to be like, okay, you're dragging me to another meeting, and look, 200. So, thank you.
Thank you.
I still have a question about the process, Elise. Last week, you weren't here, but last week y'all passed out forms asking for comments. I emailed something in detail back to Melissa. I haven't heard from anybody. How do I know that I'm going to get my concerns are going to be addressed? And how do we know that our concerns are going to be addressed if we put our thoughts or questions down on an email? Who's going to reply, and in what, can we expect a reply?
No, that's what I'm trying to say. Like, we want to take the input from everybody. It's hard to reply to 200 individual emails that may say the same thing. So we will take that form into consideration as well. Let us, again, finish a little bit the input session, and then we're going to tell you, okay, what did we find out? So your form that you submitted last time It's not in vain. It's still with us. We looked through it. We didn't draft the staff report for CPC. We're not at that stage yet.
But you said the ordinance is on the website, and it contains architectural standards, and I've asked several questions about specific points in there, including setbacks and height restrictions and number of stories, and y'all can't answer my questions.
We can, so that's, I'm absolutely gonna give the mic to Trevor, and I'm gonna let the architectural standards portion basically happen tonight. That's my main message right now. I wanted to, because last time it was a little bit of, I won't use the word, regarding process. So I wanted to start with the process to make you all aware. These are the reply forms. This is what's going to happen. We didn't set it yet. We didn't write the report. We don't know. We're not there yet. But when we go there, this is what the process is for the book. But tonight's meeting is about architectural standards. I wanted to ask you to let him run the presentation the way he wants, talk about only architectural standards with him. That's the purpose of the meeting. But I wanted to, again, at the beginning, let's hash out a little bit of the process. Yes, sir.
So my question is about the process, similar to some other things that said, but you're talking about putting a form on the website. It sounds like it lets us put comments in on the specifics of the ordinance and the pieces that are drafted. I'd like there to be a place there where we can put our comments in about the process that was used to get us to this point. Because I don't think the right process was used, and we wouldn't have ended up here if the right process had been used. So where do we
I agree. I totally agree with you. I hear you. We will have at the end an opening saying all any other comments, and please do put all of that in. I encourage you to put it in any kind of form that is official or unofficial. You can do it on the form that's going to be on the website. You can do it on the reply form for CPC. You can make your own email to the entire CPC. There are a lot of things that I still want to tell you about how we're going to help you to make your voice heard at CPC and Council.
Okay, thank you for taking my question. My question is, if we had a consensus, and we all agree, we still have the problem that things were added into the draft that were not discussed in the meetings at all, or that were decided differently. So how can we trust your department? When I asked what's the mechanism for you to be able to do that, Mr. Brown said that using my architectural expertise or something like that, but his architectural expertise is not the neighbors agreeing on something. He's just adding in something else that we didn't even discuss. It doesn't make any sense to me. So if you did take all of our comments and we all agreed 100%, yeah, this works. I don't know
if that's what's going to happen. Thank you. So, how can you trust us? How can you trust any process that involves public hearings where there is or there's not 100% consensus? Like, I don't have an answer to it. We work in your interest to the best of our abilities. We're here to help you, one, navigate the process that you started, and second, to use our expertise, he is an expert, to give you an advice. If you don't agree with it, I will say, you only saw a little bit of the process, which was this. The process is due, meaning it has two public hearings, it has CPC and City Council, and there is a lot of power that is given to you, to the vote or the decision is made by City Council, not by us. We follow the process, and I will say this again, to the best intentions and abilities that we have. You don't agree with it, I thank you. I don't know what to say. We all agree, we follow it. Thank you for your input. Next step is CPC, submit your reply form, send emails, try to explain in a public forum what is your view of the process, you will be heard.
I understand what you're saying. But I'm not talking about disagreeing with it. I'm talking about adding something that wasn't even discussed.
Same. It's a very, very good comment to have for the City Plan Commission. If whatever is going to be published in the report, you don't agree with it, please do put it in your comments, like, we want you to do that.
Yes, sir.
I think if anything could be arbitrarily added to the process, why not just have two people sit, Trevor and Summer can sit in the room and do whatever they want.
Sure, thank you. It doesn't help right now. I really want to help and explain to you the needs that you have.
I thought you learned about rules. So tell us how the rules work.
That's how the rule works.
And then tell us how they're performed.
Can I just say something on that? I was just talking to the, and I don't want to interrupt Andrea, but I do want to say that I think to make sure that your concerns are heard, we do have to write and prepare a staff report. So oftentimes what we'll do in a process of writing a staff report, there may be certain things given staff expertise and other comments that we may have heard throughout the process or from others along the way that staff may recommend that this would solve X solution. But what we do in that staff report is we also say, although staff recommends this, there was a large percent of the community that didn't feel comfortable with this recommendation. So we acknowledge that in the staff report, and that is what we will do through this process. We will acknowledge that, say, section K, right? Largely the community did not feel comfortable with this, or there was a significant enough group for us to bring it to the attention. And so therefore, then it becomes, because we are just recommend, we're staff recommendation, then it goes to the decision-making bodies to actually then parse out. We provide our rationale for that recommendation, and then we also say that there was conflicting points of view. So now, in this public setting, let's hash out if this is a way to proceed or not. I wanted to say, like, I see three hands, and then we got to move on. And I also wanted, yes, three hands. I see.
We're going to take two more questions.
As well. I think the last time there's a lot of concern about what we're reflecting and what we're not reflecting. From what I understand, we didn't actually get through discussing what the draft recommendations are. We talked a lot about process, what we don't like, but we didn't actually get to go through what the actual recommendations are so we can have those conversations. So we will entertain two more questions that are unrelated to draft standards, and then we're going to move on to that. And then after that, we are going to be able to, so the comments about, my comments weren't reflected yet, but we need to get through the entirety of the proposal before we can then summarize whether or not this recommendation needs to be removed or whether it needs to be adjusted. There's a lot of process yet to be had.
I see. Okay, my question is there any scenario in which the ordinance as drafted doesn't go to CPC? And same question, does the ordinance as drafted now, does it go to the City Council?
Let me follow up with another question on you.
No
recommendation at all? Or a different, an alternate ordinance? Okay, so thank you for the question because I wanted to make two more remarks before giving it to Trevor. Trevor is already 30 minutes and I promised him it's going to be 10. So thank you for that question. I was going to advise you the same. So in this month that we said, okay, it's going to be for public input, first, again, you can send, each of you can send your own form, or you can get a little bit organized, discuss amongst yourself and maybe submit an alternate consolidated proposal. Whatever works best for you, I would personally prefer consolidated. I would prefer for you to make peace with it. And if we end up to say, okay, this is the draft that's on the website, this is an alternate, that to me is a very good scenario. An even better scenario for me would be for you to get organized together with the neighborhood committee and all of you submit comments and changes unified to what we're proposing.
But what is presented, that doesn't change. All you can do is present.
I don't know if it's changed. It may change.
Again, it depends on the input that we're getting. We may be wrong, that's what we're trying to say. We need to hear something from you. I would prefer that, I would advise, I think it's easier for all of you to kind of like consolidate it amongst yourselves, and now you have a draft that's already out there that you can chop it off. It doesn't mean that we will not change it. There are a lot of things that can happen. It can, we may not change it because it's our, and we can say this is staff's, this is the neighbor's. I don't think we're gonna do that, but we've seen it. It may happen, as Andrea was saying, staff and the neighbors did a disagreed in here, and we can put a box. We can say staff said that, the neighbors did that. We do that at CBC all the time. They know how to navigate that. So we are very, very open, and that's what we're trying to do, to basically allow you to, now that you have something to work on it, please work on it. I cannot say this enough. I would prefer to have a consolidated input. If that's not possible, send us 200 letters. I don't know. If we get 200 letters with 200 inputs on the same section, I don't know what's going to happen. We're probably going to need another month to look at it, to see what we put in the ordinance. Maybe we need to come back to you. That's why I'm kind of like not addressing that right now, because I don't know what the input is. One more. I'll give it to you.
Thank you. There's some of us who just don't believe this is a legal process. The zoning names
again. I can respond to that. I'm sorry, but we do need to respond from that. Because it is a legal process. Andrea has already described that. We've talked all about that. What we need to do tonight is we need to get through the draft.
I have a question about something you said about staff.
I've had PTSD on this. Todd Lott, 6722 Lakewood Boulevard. I want to start with, we want to make sure everybody in here is a homeowner that has...
Except for your name and address, yes.
Because I went through this in Oak Cliff, they were amazing. Winnetka Heights is even crazier than Lakewood. They love, they think they love their neighborhood more than we do. They don't. But I had open house meetings, and it was like this. The process is real. What she's telling you, if you have 100 people that are on your site, give her that, not one at a time. It doesn't work. The other thing is, in these forums, the loudest pushback, it turned out, were developers. People that didn't even have a property in that thing, and it was driving me nuts. We worked with them, with the neighborhood. The neighborhood association was huge at the time, of Scott Briggs, and he said, "No, I'd keep doing what you're doing." We bought an abandoned church in Oak Cliff, made it a community arts center. We had so much pushback from it, so much so that one lady goes, "Where do you live?"
Are you in the expanded CD2 or are you in the existing?
No, I'm telling you, I went through the process.
I know, but are you in the expanded CD2 or are you in the existing CD2?
All right, everybody. All right. Please, everyone. We are going to go to the draft box. So what I'm going to ask is to allow Trevor to go through the presentation. If he does have a period where he wants to ask questions, I'm going to ask that it needs to stick to the issue at hand, to the draft recommendation on the screen. Those are the only questions that we're going to be able to respond to at this point moving forward. So I appreciate you respecting that request.
Thank you, Andrea and Andrea. For those of you who didn't catch it earlier, I'm Trevor Brown, the Chief Planner for Conservation Districts. I'm going to blow through a lot of these slides because those of you who have attended these meetings before know that there's a lot of recap from things that were discussed at prior meetings. Of course, this is the boundaries of the proposed expansion area and the existing CD2. I read this at every single meeting that we held, that the purpose of the CD is to protect the physical attributes of an area or neighborhood, promote development or redevelopment that is compatible with an existing area or neighborhood, promote economic revitalization, enhance the livability of the city, and ensure harmonious, orderly, and efficient growth. These were the standards that we looked at for the determination of eligibility. You'll notice, you know, it's only at least one block face. Basically, that 75% of the lots are at least 25 years old. So I think that that's important, as well as that the area has attributes that include recognizable architectural styles. These were the items that our conservation district must regulate, ones that it may regulate. Of course, all of this is on the website. That's one reason why I'm starting to go through these as quickly as we can, especially considering how much time we spent on the process. So, after the petitions were signed, we held one pre-application meeting here in this building before holding 15 post-application meetings. Of course, we had a meeting last week, meeting 16 and 17. Scott, I don't know where you are, but that speaker's starting to give us some feedback. We provided the meeting schedule as well as the items that were discussed at each meeting so that you know what and when those particular things were addressed during the process. All right, we're going to talk a little bit about procedure again. We'll ask that you continue to raise your hand. We'll wait and recognize you before you ask your question. You'll state your name and address for the record. There were some comments last meeting that we weren't able to hear the question, so we'll walk around and let the question be spoken into the microphone. I do want to also stress the form that you were handed whenever you signed in to the meeting tonight. Please write your name and address on those comment sheets. Provide any comments that you have at the end of this meeting. As Andrea mentioned, there will be a survey online as well as a means of also providing additional comments. As you probably have found, the draft ordinance is broken up into two parts. One that is developmental standards and architectural regulations. We're going to go over those again tonight as much as possible. And then there is an exhibit that provides some illustrations that are hopefully going to be helpful in interpreting some of the language of the ordinance. So this was an item that was not discussed last week. We had a couple of questions about this relating to the location of garages, carports, and accessory structures. The draft ordinance says that they must be located behind the rearmost facade of the main building. So that'll be behind the farthest wall of the main structure. For corner lots, the accessory structure cannot be any closer to the corner side lot line, so the side street can't be any closer than the main building itself. Attached garages are prohibited within the wraparound. The photograph that we have here is a building on wood, I believe, that has an attached garage that you can see here on the in the rear. Of course, this was an original structure that was remodeled. I'm sure that garage was added at some point. But this shows you what the ordinance will allow in terms of an attached garage being outside of the area of architectural regulation, and then that garage doors may not face the front street. Setbacks, as it pertains to accessory structures. Structures 24 feet in height and under will require a 1 foot side yard setback and will require no minimum rear yard setback, as long as all the eaves and overhangs are contained within